Hello, I'm David Makowski, and welcome to our Project Spotlight on members. And today I have with me Brett Campbell, and this is really part two of an interview conversation I've had with Brett. So hi, Brett, how you doing?
I'm well. Thanks for having me again.
Oh yeah, glad to have you. So Brett is a chaplain, active duty chaplain at the Buckley Air Force Base nearby in Aurora, Colorado. Yeah. So again, thanks, Brett. So I wanted to lead out with a question, like just to get us, a sense of how you do things. Is what does a typical week look like for you as a chaplain?
So there's no typical week, but there are different things that we do on a regular basis, depending on the week. So some of the big things that we do as chaplains in the military are invocations. That's kind of just a we say that's checking the box. So invocations are start a lot of the ceremonies on base, whether it be a retirement or a promotion ceremony. And typically what happens is somebody gets a script of the things that you have to have for a ceremony, and they say, "Oh, we need the chaplain to do an invocation." And so they call us up. And so I'm not always a huge fan of doing those because people don't always really want us there. But that is something that we do. I do a lot of counseling, individual counseling, couples counseling. One of the big things for with us as chaplains in the military is that we have 100% confidentiality. So similar to a priest, we don't have to report anything, not even harm to self or others. So that's a really important thing that allows that gives people a little more comfort in coming to us because they know that whatever they share with us is safe. So counseling is a big one. We do our own religious services. So the base has Christian, Catholic, and I've started a Buddhist group. I do that on a weekly basis. And then, there's admin stuff. There's going out and just talking to people. So we're all kind of assigned different units, and we just go out and check on people, see how they're doing. And that's just kind of a way to make ourselves known. And that's how we get a lot of our counseling. We actually talk to people in their workspace. And then every week, other stuff comes up. Actually, one of the big things that we're doing, and this is kind of particular to our base and the kind of the vision of my boss, the head chaplain at the base. We started doing these classes that we're calling Race in America, and it's really just kind of a dialogue on race. And everything that's kind of going on in our country right now. So that's been really cool because it's really generated some great conversation. And I think it's what we're really trying to do with it is have conversations that we don't normally have in a workspace, because they're important. That's just kind
That's
of
really
a
good. So does all that fit into like a 40-hour week, a Monday to Friday job? How does that work?
So that's typically Monday through Friday, going at 7:30, get off at 4:30. I do some on-call stuff, so I can get called in the middle of the night. But typically it's just a 40-hour work week.
Yeah. And how long, I forget, how long you've been doing this as a chaplain in Buckley Air Force Base?
So I joined the Air Force about 4 years ago. 4 years ago in September. So I've been at it
4 years,
for
huh? Yeah. Well, I want to talk about I think the thing you're doing with the Buddhist support group, because it really intrigued me too, and that was that you're using the 37 practices of a bodhisattva as kind of a study course kind of thing with them too. So tell us some more about that. How does it, how's that working?
Yeah. So I started my group about 3 years ago, just a little while after I came in. And because I live so close to the base, I decided to just do it weekly, even if I wasn't on active duty orders, because I am a reservist. I've done a lot of trial and error to find out really what works, because what I find is that not many people come on a regular basis. And so what I kind of started leaning towards was finding, working with texts that are very short, pithy. So what I started with was the Lojong text. And that worked pretty well. Some of it was a little difficult for some people, and it kind of felt like people were being a little turned off by some of it. A lot of that was probably also my inability to explain what was being said in the text. So I take full responsibility for that. But once COVID hit, I started doing it online, and I actually opened it up to people all over the country that wanted to join. So I've now got group members from Florida and California and you know, East Coast and Midwest. So
these would be active Air Force people?
Active or reservist. Yeah, just people
who are stationed in different places, living in different places. Huh?
Mm. Yep, exactly. And I've got some civilians, I've got some spouses. Hmm.
And so, these would be people who have some kind of interest in Buddhism. They heard that you're doing this. And
Yes. So I advertise it specifically as a Buddhist group. So I wanted to stick with that model of kind of doing just a small text every week. And so I started working with the 37 practices of a Bodhisattva. And it's actually really, it's been a perfect text for this model. You know, people who are coming to this group are interested in Buddhism and interested in these ideas, compassion, kindness, love. So it's not really hard to talk about these ideas with the people that are choosing to come to the group. I think there's kind of this misconception of military members, and I had it too when I was coming in, that everybody's very kind of, it's all men and they're all
real honchos,
meatheads. Right. Want to go out and blow things up. But that's not true. You know what's really cool about the military, and I think especially in this time, it is extremely diverse. People are coming from all over the country. People are coming from all different types of backgrounds. And so there are parts of the Air Force that I've experienced that they are more that ideal of masculinity that you would think of when you think of the military. Mm-hmm. But then there are people who have no interest in that, and they're in the military to make a good living. There's a wide swath of different kinds of people who are looking for different kinds of things in life. And there's definitely, I think, a group within the military that really want stuff like this.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah. The 37 practices too, you know, so kind of remind me about that. But I think in there, they definitely talk about the paramitas, you know, of patience and generosity, exertion, wisdom even. And there is quite a bit about, it's kind of extreme in some ways. I kind of remember, you know, these statements, these aspirations, you know, about like, almost like cutting your head off or something like that in terms of being really way out there in the Bodhisattva side of things too. So do you just kind of present it straight up for what it is and then talk about it?
So what I typically try and do is, and this is really my thing. I think there's always kind of been this fear of being too Buddhist. Mm-hmm. And so I've kind of learned a language, to keep it, a little more secular in its understanding, which I get is the more I go, the deeper I go into my own practice, the more I kind of shy away from that myself. But what I've really started to do is kind of give a couple different perspectives. Like, this is the way that is traditionally viewed in Buddhism. And this is a different way. So, you know, an example being the six realms of beings. You know, I talk about how, so traditionally, like, we can be reborn as a hell being or a god. But we can also look at it from a psychological perspective, saying that we've all experienced these states in our lives, and you know, we will going forward. So it's, I feel like I'm probably kind of walking a tightrope there.
holding true to the doctrine versus trying to, you know, I think it's actually classic, you know, because I think it has to do with that container analogy, you know, how Buddhism, you know, can come and exist in different kinds of containers, depending, which are really cultures in some ways. Yeah, really cool. So, so that part then is kind of where you're known as a Buddhist chaplain, perhaps, but then basically most of the time you're probably more of a non-denominational chaplain.
Yeah.
Is that a fair way to talk about that, or how you think about it, or what?
Yeah, it is. So everybody knows me as the Buddhist chaplain. I have a symbol on my uniform that identifies me as a Buddhist chaplain. Granted, nobody knows what the symbol is. So it's actually the ship's steering wheel.
Cool.
So most people just think I'm like prior Navy or something. So yeah, everybody knows me as the Buddhist chaplain. But kind of in practice outside of my Buddhist group, I work as a non-denominational, interfaith, whatever we want to call it. So the focus, and I think what's beautiful about this is I'm mainly working with Christians. Most of the chaplains, I'm the only Buddhist chaplain in the Air Force. So most of the chaplains are Christian. And so I'm learning a lot from them in terms of how to speak to a Christian population, and care for Christians. But, you know, it all really comes down to like meeting a person heart to heart. So that's really what my day-to-day work looks like. Obviously I'm approaching my interactions with people from a Buddhist mindset, because I can't separate myself from that anymore. And I think people, you know, appreciate that. But really I'm just trying to meet people exactly where they are and care for them in whatever way they need. So an example of that is a quickly growing faith group in the military, I'm finding, is neo-paganism. So I've actually had within the last year now, I've had three airmen who practice Norse paganism, whose religion says that they should wear a beard. Beards are not allowed in the military, but you can have it if your religion says that it is necessary. So they've come to me to get them waivers so that they can wear beards. And then I help them set up a group. So they meet weekly now. So, you know, my heart as a minority religion in the military, my heart,
there's a connection
for both their minority religions. So that's been kind of fun, but yeah, and there's nothing Buddhist about that. I'm really just caring for these people, no matter what their religion is and meeting them where they're at.
Cool. Well, you mentioned too that maybe in this context of non-denominational, that you also have a group you work with or on a weekly basis or something like that called Mind Training. Is that right?
Yeah. So this is something that I've been working on since I came in. Really, You know, it started out as how do I get meditation into the military? You know, it's been in the military for a while, but even just 4 years ago, it wasn't huge by any means. So I started teaching meditation and really kind of, you know, learning how to talk about meditation in a way that really related to people. You know, so I couch it in terms of exercising the mind. But I slowly kind of started to feel like something was missing. You know, I think it's kind of a conversation that is kind of slowly bubbling up within the, meditation and the corporate setting. Like, what about the morals, the ethics behind all of this? Mm-hmm. So I started looking at Buddhism to figure out what I could take from that in a secular way to kind of bring in more of this this perspective of how do I be a good person, right? It's not just about training my mind. So I eventually kind of came to wanting to bring in this idea of the kind of the model of Lojong, of the slogans. And what I eventually landed on was helping people identify their positive values in life. So I created this model of kind of three pillars of relaxation. Number one, because we just don't relax in our culture, especially in the military. You know, finding ways to relax in your life. Number two, mindfulness. You know, training your mind to be more focused. Because that kind of feeds into the third one, or how I teach this is what I've called shifting, but it's really the slogan idea. So it's taking your values and creating slogans to help to begin to shift your thinking, your habitual patterns towards a more positive way of thinking and acting. Mm-hmm. So this is actually, people really love this. I've actually been asked to travel to different bases to teach this. I've gotten some support from some higher ranking individuals that really love this idea and want to get it out there. It's cool. I think it's an idea that it really, it's a way of bringing these kind of Buddhist ideas into a more secular setting. But you know, they can also, the way that I teach it, people can also bring their own religion into this. So it's not necessarily about bringing Buddhism into it, but it's about bringing, you know, a healthy, positive way of working with your mind and, living a more, positive life.
Cool. It's really great that the Air Force is acknowledging that that's a worthwhile thing to do. Cool.
Yeah.
So are you doing some of those by Zoom or in person?
Yeah, everything I'm doing right now is pretty much by Zoom. We're on base and people are working on base, but I've found there are also quite a few people that are working from home still. So
So is the mind training, is that available to anybody in the country then too? Stationed anyplace?
So right now I've only been teaching it to people on my base. I've never actually thought about sending it out to everybody else. I probably should. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's one advantage of being in a pandemic with Zoom is that all of a sudden your audience can be bigger too.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So I'm actually, so as a reservist, I'm attached to a certain base. So the last 4 years I've been attached to Buckley, which is in Aurora. But this year I was actually transferred down to the Academy. So my new reserve position is the Air Force Academy. I'm currently working at Buckley because they have me on active duty orders to help out for a little while. But my intention is to really kind of start to bring this down to the academy too, with the younger cadets, and see how it works, and hopefully make this kind of a, you know, a regular thing that they teach down there.
Yeah. Wow. That's really cool. Yeah. Okay. So we're trying to keep these things on, you know, on somewhat on the short side, but this is really, really wonderful, Brett, today, you know, to hear more about what you're doing in the Air Force with being both a non-denominational chaplain and a Buddhist chaplain. Yeah, really, really cool. So I think we might look for another opportunity too, to kind of connect with you and see if we can go a little bit further in terms of some of the things you're doing within the, you know, the military and how that works. So, yeah. So thanks again for being with us today.
Of course. Yeah. It's been very fun.
Good. Great.